segment a bit, and we're going to keep doing this for the foreseeable future until we get back to normal. Found a musical survey on Soch about a month and a half ago, and each of us here on the crew have taken turns answering the survey. And today it is Sean Bass's turn. So Sean is back from an awkward vacation last week, and he is ready to answer all of these questions. So anxious to hear your list and your responses. Sean, take it away.
Well, first off, I've loved this segment since we've gone to this format. It's been a lot of fun to hear each of your personal tastes. And by the way, thank you for the forum. I like having the forum.
Yes, so. Indeed.
Offer you the forum. Indeed.
Let's piss off people to start off. And the first is hate. The band you hate. I don't know if I hate any band necessarily. There's some bands I definitely don't like. And growing up in the, you know, high school, late 90s, college, early aughts, this band was loved by many. And I'm sure I'm going to piss off many of my peers by saying, what is so great about Blink 182? Because they, look, I get it. People have this affinity for this pop, punk, rock, emo era. But bands like Good Charlotte, Simple Plan, Fall Out Boy, All American Rejects, they just never hit the mark for me. And I think Blink 182 is like the band that really ushered a lot of that in because they got a lot of radio play. And maybe that's what soured me the most on them because, you know, their hits were hits for a reason. And it's not like they were just devoid of musical talent because I think Travis Barker, their drummer, was very good. And I thought that, you know, their bit was good. I just never really resonated with me personally. I think Enema of the State is a funny name for an album. Their follow-up album, Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, also genius. But for whatever reason, okay. I think they lacked a little bit lyrically. I think they were good musically, but I just never quite got what was so great about them, if that makes sense.
Had some bits. You probably get too much fight here, but yeah, there probably are some Blink 182 fans that are really angry right now.
Probably so. And you know what? I'm going to also piss off the older half of our demographic by saying, what is so great about Van Halen?
Oh, my God.
Look, listen, controversial. Listen, Eddie Van Halen, genius. Their logo.
Okay, that's one great thing.
Their logo, genius. I'm not going to sit here and say that they weren't significant at all. I just think that David Lee Roth was a tremendous beating, and I think Sammy Hagar was awful. So, like, there are things about the band I really like. In fact, I have an audio example of that because there's many radio hits that we hear over and over Van Halen, and I punch out after about 2 seconds because I can recognize it. The one song that I really like listening to, at least the first part of it, is Dance the Night Away. And this is a live version, and this is just a great example lick. About, yeah, awesome lick. Love it. Love everything for the first, like, 15 seconds of the song.
That's a good guitar sound.
Right about now is where I just completely check out.
Oh, man, this is great.
I understand he's a great lead man. I know a lot of people like Van Halen. Like I said, I'm pissing people off. I just never thought they were as great as everybody made them out to be. Everybody's talking about how great Van Halen was when I was a kid, and I never got it. I thought they were
bands. So can I ask you, Sean, are you answering, are they also a band you hate, or is this the band you think is overrated?
No, the band I think is overrated, and this will also piss off.
Okay, you don't have to stampede to that yet. I didn't know if you had moved on. You don't necessarily, but you kind of do think Van Halen's overrated, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I just don't like listening to their songs. And a lot of it, too, is probably just an oversaturation of radio play.
Okay. Yeah. But that first Van Halen album, oh, my gosh.
Wow. Yeah.
It was David so Lee groundbreaking.
Yeah.
I'm with you on Sammy Hagar. But I wasn't around then. I was not born yet. Right. So maybe that just didn't really, you know, set my soul on fire.
Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't remember it either. I was really young. It was 78 when that came out. But, yeah, he revolutionized guitar.
And so. I thought David Lee Roth was genius. I hated Sammy Hagar. I think the band went to crap when he joined.
That's where they jumped the shark.
Yep. And as far as the band I think is overrated, this stems from an off-air conversation. Because I think 2 weeks ago during the corner, I want to say, Gordo, you played the lead singer of Puddle of Mud trying to pay tribute to Nirvana with just a terrible cover. I forget the song. But we were talking off the air, and what's so great about Nirvana? I mean, I understand that they
I'm kind of with you on this.
Place, something. They had a huge impact. I think the grunge movement, I don't even like calling it the grunge movement, but I think that was a much-needed breath of fresh air in rock music at the time. I think MTV really aided that with the Smells Like Teen Spirit video and all that. But, I mean, they put out two albums. They had the live album, which was great. I'll give you that. The Nirvana Live Unplugged MTV thing is really good. But I think because the way tragically Kurt Cobain passed, I think the lore of Nirvana is way bigger than what they actually were.
Mm-hmm.
I think what the Foo Fighters and Dave Grohl did afterwards, I think probably would have, I don't know, been much better than anything Nirvana would have done moving forward. There are plenty of bands that put out 2-3 great albums to start, but then they sort of peter out. Like the Smashing Pumpkins, I think that's a really good example. But mm-hmm. I think because we don't know what Nirvana would have been, that's why I think they're overrated.
Hey, some people need to be ripped.
Mm, yeah. All right. It's getting hot in here.
It is.
So let's skew positive. And the next topic is underappreciated. Now, this band is very popular. This band has been big for about a decade now. But I think the Avett brothers are awesome. Seth and Scott Avett, their album I and Loving You from 2009 is great top to bottom. Magpie and Dandelion is a good follow-up. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the Judd Apatow doc, May It Last. It came out in 2017. It just chronicled their life and their band and how they recorded an album. And it was so good. And it just gives you an insight of what they are as brothers, what they were as a family, what they are as a band. And maybe because seeing that, I have a soft spot for them. But there are certain songs that I think are just incredible. They're such good singers. They're such good performers, and songwriting is just impeccable.
I think you're right.
In fact, this
I love them.
This is one of my favorite songs in life. It's called Laundry Room, and I'm not going to play the whole thing, but to me, like, I don't understand why this band isn't just completely massive to where, like, Coldplay got,
don't
you know?
Push me out just a little longer.
And they harmonize so well because they've known each other their whole lives, and they're just great.
Nice.
If you haven't taken the time, go check out the Avett Brothers. And in fact, they're Dirk's favorite band, so anything Dirk likes, I'm behind.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
The floor.
All right, so let's move on to Band I Love. And this is tough because, like, the middle three, Band I Love, band you can listen to over and over, and the band that made you fall in love with music, I think that's all kind of interchangeable to me. But the band I picked is Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I mean, mm-hmm. I think as far as American rock bands, you could argue that they are the greatest American rock band.
Yes, you know, they were on my list, the band that made me fall in love with music. So they would make a lot of people's list, and for one of those three, I think you're right.
And the first CD I ever purchased with my own money as a kid, and this is right when CDs started blowing up, was Tom Petty's Full Moon Fever. And I'm just talking like hit after hit. I mean, huge radio hits. Free Fallin', Won't Back Down, Love is a Long Road, Facing the Crowd, and Running Down a Dream are the first five tracks. But what I loved about this is because, you know, I had a bunch of tapes and even records before then, and then you would have to change the record. I love what Tom Petty did in the middle of this album.
Hello, CD listeners. We've come to the point in this album where those listening on cassette or records will have to stand up or sit down and turn over the record or tape. In fairness to those listeners, we'll now take a few seconds before we begin side two. Thank you.
I remember that.
Here's side two.
That was great. That's pretty genius.
Tom Petty voice is just funny as is. But then the first track.
And he will win.
The first track on side two is a cover of The Byrds. And I mean, this riff just helps the album just keep rolling right along. This is Feel a Whole Lot Better. And this is just, it's my favorite song on the album, and it's a cover.
So sad he's gone.
I know, and that's the, you know, of all the big celebrity deaths we had a few years ago, I think this is the one that impacted me the most.
Wait, what?
You know that Tom Petty is gone.
Okay, we'll do something different in the corner today. Had him set up.
And honestly, seeing Rhines do Petty Theft over the years, that just helped drive home how great this band was. It was like a constant reminder when we used to go out, you know, a lot back in the day, just to see how good this band is, even if it was just Rhines up there, you know, doing Petty. And I've seen Petty, I think, three times
well.
In person, and it was always really, really good. All right, the next one, the band I can listen to over and over, I put R.E.M., and I know we've had a lot of R.E.M. love in this segment in the past. The other band that I can put right there, and Gordo, I think you might be right there with me, is the Counting Crows. And I understand that they got really popular in the 90s, and some people might think that, you know, their lead singer is a little whiny, but man, August and Everything After and Recovering the Satellites and The Desert Life are three of the best albums of the 90s.
So great.
And their songwriting is so good. And this is my, maybe my, outside of Rain King, this is probably my favorite Counting Crows song. And it's like a 7.5 minute song. It's Mrs. Potter's Lullaby. And I just think the songwriting and the sound of this is just so, so freaking good.
Yesterday it was a good day.
Mid-afternoon, because that's when it all hurts the most. I dream I'll never know anyone at the party, and I'm always the host.
And they came around in, like, what, early 90s, and they had a real staying power throughout that entire decade. And that was my junior high into high school years, and we just wore these albums out. Like, me and my friend group, we were all huge Counting Crows fans, and you know, I know that some people think they're kind of schlocky and their sound is dated, but I could just listen to this. Anytime this is on the radio, I do not turn it off.
I don't hear too much Counting Crows hate. I'm sure it's out there.
Yeah.
But they're pretty widely received. I just love them.
I remember that people were hating on them when I went to Woodstock, whatever it's called,
really?
Woodstock 20.
Huh.
Yeah, it seemed like the crowd was too cool for Counting Crows at that point.
They're just cool so for stupid. So long.
There's yeah, a, you got to start hating
those
band.
It's like Coldplay. Mm-hmm. I know people kind of like rip on Coldplay or Dave Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them live, and those are really good concerts because they're good musicians. But because they got so popular, the cool thing
right.
to do is turn on them. And I feel like yeah. that Counting Crows
just like
sort
their
of
early stuff,
group.
And then turn on them. Yeah,
yeah. And as far as like a band that that made me fall in love with music, and my dad and I really bonded over Pink Floyd because my dad's, you know, an artist and kind of an old hippie, and he just turned me on to all of Pink Floyd's catalog when I was a kid. It was always kind of playing at the house. And everybody knows Dark Side of the Moon is a classic and The Wall is great. But, man, I kind of like the sort of the maybe not their biggest albums. I think Animals is an incredible album
yes.
top to bottom.
Yeah.
And there's another one called Metal, which maybe not their best known album, but beginning to end, it's only like 6 tracks and it takes about half an hour to get through. But to me, this is one of the greatest songs ever recorded. And this is track 3 on it. It's called Fearless. And I think it's just so pretty and the songwriting is just perfect. And I don't know, this just reminds me of growing up around the house. Never really hear that one on the radio. You hear stuff off Dark Side, you hear stuff off The Wall, but to me that's one of their absolutely best songs.
And now I wanted to find a way to put them on my list because I really love Pink Floyd and I think they're one of the most unique sounding bands ever. And in a weird way, I think they're underrated. As huge as they were, I don't hear tons of Pink Floyd love. And I think you're right. You bonded with your dad over Pink Floyd. I've had a couple friends where we've bonded over Pink Floyd music. And it's for some reason, it's good background bonding music.
Yeah, it's kind of melodic. And there's just such intricate little things about, you know, almost all of their songs on every record.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the type of band where you can just listen to a record beginning to end. And I think that's
yes.
what made me really grow to love music, is not just liking a track or rewinding a tape or skipping ahead on a CD. I could just put track 1 on and just let it go. And that's why I love Pink Floyd.
That's the best way.
Did you ever smoke out and listen to them?
Absolutely. Third Roar.
Gosh, don't admit that on the air.
Third Roar on the Lion on the, was it Dark Side of the Moon and Wizard of Oz? That's where you got to start it up. And it's,
okay, so it works, doesn't it?
Pretty awesome, yep. The band that changed my life, this is...
I'll tell you what, can I put the brakes on you?
Yeah.
Because I think the program director would be upset if we didn't take a break here.
Oh, heavens.
And because we've still got 5 or 6 questions for Sean to answer on the music survey, so why don't we continue it next in the corner? The new format for The Biggest Show coming to town this week here during the pandemic has been a lot of fun. And for those who are answering this survey, it takes a while because you want to tell the stories, you know, want to play some songs. And so we are again extending this segment into Gordo's Corner. In fact, what we're going to do is move the corner probably from now on On Tuesdays, it'll be at 9:35, and we'll just make this big show a two-segment thing. Sean Bass is answering the survey today. By the way, a programming note, next week, since we'll be done with the crew answering the survey next week, Mike Reiner will join us.
Oh, non-disclosure.
We have that confirmed, and you know how into music the old gray wolf is, so he will return to the Ticket airwaves next Tuesday, and he'll answer this musical survey. Sean is in the middle of it right now, and Sean, you got about halfway through, so let's let you pick up where you left off.
Okay, so to recap, band I don't like, Blink-182. Overrated bands, Nirvana and Van Halen. Underappreciated, the Avid Brothers. Band I love, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Can listen to over and over, Counting Crows. Fell in love with music. The band that made me do that was Pink Floyd. And that's where we stopped. And the band that changed my life, and this is probably, many people would say this, but it's the Beatles. And
change your life.
They're, you know, what else can be said about them? But I remember my 6th birthday party, my dad bought me, I think, every Beatles album on cassette tape. And we had a big big blowout party, sleepover. But the next day after everybody went home, I went to my tape player. And for whatever reason, I grabbed the White Album. And the first track on the White Album was this. And I guess something just ripped open right in my mind and just opened my eyes to what rock and roll could be. And I've never been the same.
Get Gordo going on this one.
I know, but
no, go on.
This was so, like the song,
this was so interesting.
Yeah.
I'm wondering why they really liked Russia, because Russia was supposed to be our enemy at that point.
It was a mind tripper.
Yeah.
For sure.
Not anything a day tripper.
Oh, yeah.
And then just getting into all their albums as a kid. Really, that was the first, like, I guess, music I listened to over and over for the first, you know, six years of my life.
Was your dad a Beatles fan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was right in his wheelhouse. So that rubbed off on me. And I think I played While I'm Asleep. What I played this morning at the 5:30 spin. I'm Only Sleeping. Revolver. Yeah. I think Revolver's their best album. And that's very debatable.
Hard.
He really gets it here.
It's on.
George. So George. All right, so there's Beatles. Everybody loves the Beatles. Some don't, but they're wrong. So it's a band I'm surprised by. And I think this was Jer's, this was your, what? Lady Gaga was your,
Guilty Pleasure.
Guilty Pleasure,
yeah.
Okay, so this is the band I was surprised by, because an ex-girlfriend of mine really got into her right when she started blowing up, and I thought this was just another Madonna wannabe. But man, she's had hit after hit. All of her songs are bangers, it feels like, and this is actually my youngest daughter's favorite song to listen to in the car.
It doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M. Put your paws off it, because you were born this way, baby. My mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars.
And I think in recent years, she's kind of gotten away from, like, the really avant-garde, you know, stuff she was doing in her videos early on to, like, gain notoriety and popularity. And I think A Star is Born is an awesome movie, and she was great in it. I was pretty blown
away. I still need to see that.
Oh, my gosh.
She was tremendous. And I think she got nominated for an Oscar, and I think it was absolutely deserving. And look, she's our generation's Madonna. That's what she is.
This is exactly Madonna right here.
It does sound like Madonna.
Absolutely.
Just express yourself.
Yeah, and I think every generation's probably going to have somebody like this, honestly, to fill that role.
Second best man, put your love to the test. Boy, it is.
Oh, yeah, Madonna's talked about this. I think Madonna was a little annoyed by it.
She'll get you going. Yeah,
she's greatness.
It's a good song.
Lady Gaga.
Guilty Pleasure. And look, there's plenty of 90s and early aughts stuff that's not good, but there's something about the bands that were popular on the radio when you were first driving a car. And I think Matchbox 20, Third Eye Blind, and the Goo Goo Dolls were that band for like a little stretch where they were just on all the time. And I think beginning to end, the album Dizzy Up the Girl by Goo Goo Dolls is pretty good and pretty underrated. And this song Slide, look, it just takes me right back to high school, you know.
Cranking it.
Yeah, just...
It's killing it.
Writing notes to my girlfriend, thinking about what could be in life. I don't know.
Very nostalgic.
Vulgarity in that. Yeah.
Isn't that funny how those songs from high school just don't go away?
And then I want you to wear your ankles as earrings.
What?
It's because we're still forming, right? So these songs are linked to such specific memories, the way that you don't really get that in adulthood.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the soundtrack
strong
of
emotion
adolescence.
Attached to them. How many pillows were punched to this song, Sean?
What does that mean?
Several. As many throw pillows as you have in your house, George.
That's a bunch.
So there's some Goo Goo Dolls, and band I should have seen by now is Pearl Jam. They're another wheelhouse band. I like Pearl Jam. I think they're great. But for whatever reason, I just haven't seen them in concert yet. And, you know, I feel like that's something I got to scratch off the list. I know they're kind
of... When is the last time you had a chance to do that?
When's the last time they came to Dallas? It's been a long...
Seems like it's been a long time.
Last Thursday?
They've come to Houston before, I want to say, and maybe... Oklahoma City, I'm not quite sure, but I know Corby's seen them a million times, and I feel like that's something I need to do.
Absolutely.
And great band to see in person is The Killers. I've seen them four times, and Brandon Flowers is an incredible front man. I think we all like The Killers here on the show, but the band you need to see before you die, and I know some people might think this is kind of corny, but Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band in person is a religious experience because everybody around you is just digging what's going on. And they play for like three and a half hours. And
I know.
It's so good. And I mean, I think 08, they were at the American Airlines Center. We bought floor tickets. We waited in line forever out front just to try to get in the lottery to get in first. Our group got in first. So I was like 3 feet away from Bruce the whole night. And when they played Thunder Road, it was just like... I wanted to cry. I mean, it was that good.
I need to go. I need to get into Bruce and find out what the big deal is. I have friends who are just so diehard Bruce fans.
I've jumped in that pool. I haven't really been swimming around in it much. I totally respect him, but I just it doesn't hit me the way it hits a lot of people.
And I didn't really
got to be something to it though, or so many people wouldn't.
Oh, I think he's great.
I was kind of the same. I thought, hey, there's nothing wrong with Bruce Springsteen. Then I got to college, and my girlfriend's dad was really into Bruce Springsteen, and he took us to see him doing a solo show when the Devils and Dust tour came around, or that album came out. And it was really outstanding for just one dude up there performing for 2.5 hours. And then seeing them in 08. And then in 2013, when the NCAA tournament was here, the Final Four had Bruce play like a free concert at the old Reunion Arena grounds.
I went to that.
And I did too.
Yeah, I thought y'all went to that.
Incredible.
Yep. That's the first and only time I've seen him. And I guess I was like a lot of these guys. I liked Bruce, and I, you know, Born in the USA was a big album from our childhood or college years. But I never really got into him. But seeing him that night and seeing what a showman he is and the music was huge, I got it after that. I definitely got it.
And you have the Cactus Priors of the world that are so into Bruce. And when you get, I don't know, 30,000 of them together, they're just all so into it. It feels like a religious
experience.
Yeah,
that's probably what turned me off on Bruce.
Probably. I can totally see that. Stop. So that's the...
Can you imagine listening to Cactus run down his discography?
Oh, all right, let's book him for a couple weeks from now.
And oh, my gosh.
Cactus, 1977. Wait, it was actually late 1976.
Cactus, yeah. I miss you.
I remember.
Call me. You are wronging the first board operator of this show so many years ago.
Yeah, but Sean, think about how many times he's wronged us since.
Sean, great job with the list.
Thanks. It was fun.
Way to go, Seabass.
I knew you'd be into it. Sean's a big music guy, and so well done. All right, we are through our crew. A reminder, next week, answering this musical survey will be the old gray wolf, Mike Reiner. He'll join us, making another return to the ticket, 8:55, next Tuesday morning in our revamped Biggest Show Coming to Town. Okay, and also on...